Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 5, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart, as to Christ. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. How is a Christian expected to respond to authority? Is the Bible clear? Or how is a Christian, if one in power, to wield it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "You're not my boss"? Maybe you've even used that a time or two. Does it matter how a Christian responds to their boss? To their teachers? To the police? Out on the marquee I have written, whether slave or master, render service as to the Lord. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 9. Probably for many, especially in America, these verses should just be glossed over and discarded because we got rid of slavery a long time ago. And it's not pertinent, or it doesn't pertain. I beg to differ. We certainly have gotten rid of slavery in America, but that doesn't mean we couldn't experience it sometime in the future. We know that governments rise and fall. And I want you to entertain the thought that you might actually experience slavery someday, and God, Christ, would have a way for you to respond to your master. You say, well, God forbid. Well, God never promised that life on earth would be a haven where you could very easily face that again in our lives. And so as we look at this passage, I want us to look at it almost from the cultural background from which it was written in. And it is still experienced in parts of the world even today. And I know even in America, there are situations that are basically slave and master. Not always legal. In fact, probably not legal at all. But it can still happen. What does the Bible have to say about a Christian's response to authority? But let's look at it from a little different perspective, and you'll wonder how I'm going to get there from here. How big is your family? Some of you I know are only children. Others might have a sibling or two. Some of you are from generations that prior to your generation had up to 20 plus children within the family. What's it like to be from a big family? Some families experience this. The oldest child is out of the house before the youngest one is born or brought into the house. And there's that dichotomy of brother and sister by blood, but not really by acquaintance. Who is our Father? Do we look like Him? Do we have any of His mannerisms? Do we talk like Him? And of course, I'm not simply talking about our earthly Father, am I? I'm talking about our heavenly Father. In fact, what are we called as members? We're called members of the household of God. We call each other brother and sister. And I want you to imagine that in this audience there would be a group, a nucleus, a household over here that would include not just mother and father and children, but master and slaves. Would that be possible for the church to be composed of a unit that there was a master and slave and both were in the Lord? Certainly, that's who Paul is addressing here. And each have a responsibility before God. This series of lessons that we've done, especially of late, this being the fourth, have actually started with verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye subject to one another out of fear of the Lord. And it started out with wives and husbands, and then as last week we got into children, and this week we get into slaves and masters. It's still under the same heading of how does a Christian respond to authority? What are my obligations? If it makes you feel a little more at ease to replace a slave with employee and replace master with employer, I don't think that that's inappropriate. I think it has a deeper meaning than that, but certainly it would apply. Have you ever been the boss at work? Certainly we've all been the underling, being told what to do. Does God, does Christ have anything, does the Holy Spirit reveal how I should respond? We're going to get into a whole list of ways in which God expects us to respect authority here in just a minute from the top down. But for right now, what is the deal with authority? Last week we mentioned what a nation becomes without proper control. If we don't have a government, if we don't have a police force, if we don't have a military, if we don't have civilian governments within the state, within the county, within the city, what happens? It's chaos, isn't it? God understands that. God is not opposed to having someone in control and having someone who calls the shots. In fact, we see that already in the other three lessons of husband and wife and children. What we're looking at now is we're just broadening it just a little bit. Years ago, there was a song, and this one was more in the rock area of rock music. And one of the phrases went like this: what's your name? Who's your daddy? You may not remember that, but Alexa did when I asked her to play that song. And the song wasn't named What's Your Name, Who's Your Daddy? But she got it, and I was very proud of her, because usually she just argues with me or gives me something out of the blue. Maybe a country western song that would be more pertinent, or you might have heard, of course it's from years ago too, because I'm from years ago, was something like this: what's your mama's name, child? What's your mama's name? You never heard that one either, have you? Tanya Tucker sang it a whole lot better than I can. But the whole concept of the storyline within the song is this man has come across a child, and she looks like him, and he is trying to place her. And so he says, what's your mama's name? Of course, that's not an ideal family situation if he's trying to figure out, are you mine or not? But the concept kind of flows, I think, with what we're dealing with today. Who's your daddy? You might not like what this passage has to say with regards to authority, slaves and master, even employer and employee, but who's your daddy? Are we not all of the same Father in heaven? And does he not have expectations for his children in the way that they behave? We'll get to a passage not too long from now that implies that we must be careful even when we have a master who is not the most beneficent, who might be even mistreating us, because the Bible does have something to say about that as well. But looking at it just from the standpoint of authority, if I would be what God wants me to be, I am under obligation. Let's turn now to one of those passages that talks about authority on the highest level. Go with me to Romans chapter 13. You think about what the Jews and the early Christians faced with regards to their government. And it was a question even while Jesus walked the earth. Do we have to pay taxes? And what was Jesus' response? He says simply in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 21, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God. Followers, disciples, the children of God under obligation to governments. Let's begin reading now Romans 13 in verse 1. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience's sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Wow, Paul. Don't you know that the Romans were authoritative and sometimes oppressive to the people? Don't you know that sometimes we feel like as Jews and as Christians that the Romans expect of us things that are just too much? That we like freedom? That we want to do what we want to do? Yeah? He knows all that. Our government, for the most part, we still live in a nation with liberties and freedom, right? It's not that we don't sometimes disagree with what our government expects of us. But we are blessed, aren't we? We don't have an oppressive government. They lived under oppression. Peter wore a sword for a reason all the time that he walked with Christ, even pulling it out in the garden to defend his master. He was planning a revolt. He was a zealot. He was one that was ready at the drop of a hat or a sandal or whatever, to rise up and meet the forces that be. And yet Christ's message was simple. Turn the other cheek. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Is it possible for me as a Christian to live in a less than ideal situation and still be respected or expected to respect authority? Yeah, there is no doubt. Because God's plan is only carried out when His children understand their response to authority. Otherwise, it's just chaos. I mentioned before that when I was growing up, Dad said, if you get in trouble at school, when you get home, what? You're going to get twice as much. We know that by respecting our teachers, by respecting the principal, by doing the things that God would have us to do, it's a compliment to God. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, let's read together, beginning with verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God and the king. All right, that's not too difficult for us as Americans to accept. What follows is. And if you want to keep reading, just keep reading. I'm going to get there. But we think, well, as long as it's ideal and as long as my boss or my employer is fair, as long as the teacher is not being too hard on me, as long as I am not being forced into things that are uncomfortable, then all of that's good. I'll obey authority. Is it possible at times that I might not know what's best for me? And someone might expect something of me that I just don't agree with, but later on I look back and I think, well, you know, that really was something It's called boot camp, right? That's how the military is trained. They go through those 6, 8, whatever number of weeks it is of training, and so much is expected of them. But once they get out and look back, it was actually that which shaped them and molded them into a unit. There may be times when someone over me does not heed God's word. Is it possible for a Christian to be a slave to a master who is not? Certainly. Does the Bible have anything to say about that in those situations? Let's read on. We're still in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it? This finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. The Greek word there for an unreasonable master is the word from which we get scoliosis. And it means a master who is crooked. A master who is unreasonable, certainly, is a proper interpretation of that word. But a Christian slave with a master who treats them unjustly, not only possibly giving them things that are difficult to do, but chastising them when they do what is right, that's implied, isn't it? What's Peter's admonition? Notice we've changed apostles again. We switched from Paul to Peter, but they're of the same voice, and Peter is putting it even stronger, I think, here. He says, it's your obligation, it is necessary for you, even in a situation that is not ideal, to honor authority. I've already mentioned that sometimes we may not know exactly why authority is requiring of us what it is. If we thought at every question that we had the right to rebel, what kind of society would we have? That's not to say that every command that comes down is good, or even agreeable with what God has to say. There may be those commands that go contrary to God's will. In those cases, we must obey God rather than man. God does not expect us to walk in sin in order to please others. That's what the apostles said to the Sanhedrin court when they told them to quit preaching the gospel. They said, we've got a choice here to make. Are we going to obey you or obey God? We're going to obey God. But clearly, there are times that we may be expected to do things that are just uncomfortable. We're in ignorance as to why. God says, would you have no fear of him who is in authority about an oppressive government in Rome? He says, through the Apostle Paul, then do that which is good. It's not an easy lesson, is it? But who's our example? Was it fair for Jesus to be arrested? Beaten, ridiculed, scorned, spat upon, crucified, and left for dead until he literally died. Was that fair? No. Could not Jesus have called down 10,000 angels? We sing that song, don't we? He could have called 10,000 angels. He didn't. The example that we're given is even God submitted to an oppressive government because it accomplished his will. Slaves, obey your masters as to the Lord. Masters, in like manner, forbear threatening because why? Who's your daddy? Both their master and yours is in heaven. You say, well, wait a minute. You've just talked about masters who are not Christians. That doesn't mean their father's not still in heaven. They're just rebellious children. Because he has created every one of us. And it would be wonderful if all brothers and sisters lived in such a way that they understood each other, knew each other, and were sympathetic to each other's needs. But that's not the case. we have in this world evil. We have a leader of the darkness, which is a murderer and a liar. And God knows that we will be thrust from time to time into situations that are not to our liking. What's His admonition? Even if you find yourself a doulos. I'm going to mention two Greek words. Doulos and diakonos. Doulos means bondslave. To have been sold into the service of another. That's the word used here. Doulos. You that are not your own, honor your masters. Diakonos, well, you know that word, even though you don't realize it possibly. Elders and deacons. My job is defined as being a minister. That's diakonos. Elders and deacons, ministers of God. One is a more palatable interpretation of being under someone else's authority. We like deacon. We like minister. But the Bible is clear that it applies to being a bond slave. Think about this for just a minute. I like the movie Spartacus. I really did enjoy it as a teenager. I can remember watching Kirk Douglas and Tony Curtis on the screen. You remember? And I loved it when Kirk Douglas stand up and said, "I am Spartacus." Do you like that scene? You've probably seen that scene, even though you've never seen the movie, right? And then what happened? The next guy to him said, "I am Spartacus." And then before you knew it, the whole range of rebellious slaves were standing up and saying, "I am Spartacus." And that, you know, that just gives me chills thinking about that kind of desire for liberty and fervor. But it's not God's way. It's not. Here we have God's interpretation of what a slave is to be. And God says, rebellion does not serve my church. How many toes have I stepped on so far? You say, you got mine pretty good. I'm not sure I like what you're saying at all. I did a sermon on this, just got touch of it, and a guy pulled me aside and he says, "I'm not sure that that agrees with what the Bible says." I said, "Okay, let's study that out a little more together. Is it what the Bible says?" I just go back and read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 and following. Scoliosis. A slave must be obedient to a master who is even crooked, acting in ways that are not gentle or right, persecuting a slave who might be doing everything correctly and just out of spite doing to them that which is wrong. And I bid you again, see the thorns, that crown of thorns? Do you see the whip upon the back? Do you see the nails in the hands? Do you see the cross? I do, because that's what God calls us to be. It's not that Christian masters should abuse their Christian slaves. No, they're supposed to remember who their daddy is. Do I look like him? Do I talk like him? Do I have mannerisms like him? Is he in control of my life? Is there room to live in a society that has masters and slaves? Could you? Would you? Would you have obligation if you were in such a situation? The answer is yes. Should there come a day when this nation falls and we find ourselves subservient to another nation, God will still be at work in our lives in the way that we respond to authority, even abusive authority, because we will set an example of Christ in all things. Which is better, to live free or live forever? That's what it comes down to. Just how much is your individual liberty worth to you? Would you do those things that are pleasing to God? Then find yourself under obligation to God to respect authority, governments, powers, leaders, which may or may not be all that I would have them to be, teachers, bosses, those who are in control. Because God knows what? Go back with me as we close. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Think husbands, wives, children, slaves, and masters. And put this verse at the very head of all of those particular aspects of life that we may find ourselves in. As Christians, Ephesians 5, verse 21, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. As we stand and as we sing.